Great. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, my God, Amen. Welcome, good evening, everyone, and another hour we spend around the discussing together and digging deeper and deeper into what we started, which is the second epistle of Saint Peter, still chapter one, but we're getting close to the end of chapter one, and then we have so. Getting yes out of the three chapters. So, couple things to remember. The first thing again is as we are discussing this and as we are studying Saint Peter, always remember and Peter himself and what he went through and what he the experience that he went through it and what he's trying to tell us. And you see this more and more, as we move on into more details of that. Again, the other thing is be very, very clear also today, the reminder of Saint Peter to the people that the Lord is coming, that there is kingdom of heaven. He calls it, in the passage that we probably get to today, the eternal, his eternal kingdom, his everlasting kingdom. It's there, it's happening, it will happen. Talking also about from point of confidence and trust that he's seen, that he's heard. So he's not just coming up from, as he calls it, fable, things that doesn't make, there is no proof for it or anything like that. So with all that, remember again, he's talking from the beginning about the what we have, what he has given us, as we talked about it more and more, his divine power that gave us everything pertains to life and godliness. And then moving on with that more and more to the meaning of actually being partakers of the divine nature. And then as of that, so now what is it that's expected from us? How can we live that life, right? Based on the trust, based on the faith, based on what he has given us. Then, okay, now, as we talked a couple times before, that he has given us everything that now you just have to live in it, right? And starting with the faith, and as we said, that faith will from inside will produce more, will bring more. The faith will get you to the virtues, to the knowledge, to the all those things that we talked about before, right? And then moving on with that, also what we talked about last time is kind of more of be aware type thing. Be aware, because if you don't have those things, you are what? Blind and short-minded, short-sighted and forgetting, as I'm forgetting right now, right? And we actually talked about this a little bit more during the Sunday sermon last time, which is the spiritual aging, right? Blindness, aging, not being able to remember, all those things that we struggle with. But again, we said that this is that shouldn't happen for us. Why? Because he is there. He is there. He is the one. So that divine, back again, that his divine power gave us everything for life and godliness, to live that life. With that, he goes on again. To more encouragement and more exhortation to the people that he's writing to let them know again how important that is. How important that is, right? It is given to us, yes, and we have all those things, but again, what does that mean for each one of us? What does it mean, right? One of the things that I was reading, it says something that's very interesting, actually. See if I can find it here. It is not our acknowledgement of the faith, but it is more how we are progressing in the faith. Right? There's a difference, right? There's a difference between just we profess. It's not the profession, but it is the progression, right? It's a very, very nice, a statement and very good reminder of all of us, right? That and we'll talk about this more and more today, but it's the idea again that we can easily profess. But are we progressing or not? That's the question. That is the question, right? It is our progress. It is not our profession of faith that guarantees our life with him, but it is our progression in the faith that gives us that assurance. In order to progress, what do we have to do? As St. Peter is saying, and will say here, be diligent, put effort, right? So let's start by reading this passage here, and then we'll see what we can talk about. Again, 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 10. Therefore, brothers. Actually, I was looking at this. It's in the plural in Greek, which is more brothers and sisters. So don't get upset. Like, well, you know, he's talking only. No, he's talking to everybody, right? It's the meaning that he is. It's the plural in Greek that acknowledges everybody. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. It's an amazing verse. It has a lot. Right? Be diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we doubt sometimes? So let's read this passage more and more and understand it. Right? For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to steer you up by way of reminder, since I know that putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort. This is, by the way, this is the same word is be diligent. It's the same word. I will make every effort. I will be diligent. I will make whatever it takes. I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to at any time to recall these things. It's the same word. Spoudazo, be diligent, which is important. Note just to keep it. So let's stop at this point and see again what he's talking about. So you see how the flow of the text, again, as I always say, right? He's talking to them about, you know, again, you have to be fruitful, you have to be vital and living, and now you have to actually be secure, be confident that if you do those things, you will never fall. Like, okay, well, wait a minute, what do you mean you never fall? We always fall, right? So aren't we doing this? Or what do you mean by fall here is more have a different meaning, right? So thoughts to keep in mind as we are going more and more towards that study. But you know, back again to what I was saying earlier, that it's not the profession, it is the progression, right? You know, profession is easy to do, right? But the progression takes some more effort, And that's why here he's talking about that, talking about more of be diligent. What does it mean to be diligent? Let's take a pause here for a minute and just discuss this. Mm-hmm. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Let's just talk about diligence right now. What does that mean? What do you think? Go ahead, dear. I can see it in your face. I can't wait.
I think it would be conscious of the Lord.
Okay.
Conscious of it in the moment.
Okay. The big part you're saying is actually applying this in our relationship, right? Yes.
Designate. More of a lifestyle.
Yes. More of a lifestyle, not just certain things or certain areas, or definitely, definitely. That's what we're talking about. Again, I mentioned this yesterday, that integrating our faith with everything else. Yes. What else?
So, Abun, I've got a definition for you, diligent. So, characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort.
Energetic effort. That's a very good point. Energetic effort. That means there is energy behind it. You want to do it, right? And that's where that comes, that actually the meaning is endeavor, right? Exert yourself, give difference, make difference. That's one of the meaning of the word itself in Greek. Give difference. So not just it's for myself, as David is saying, but I need to, you know, by being diligent, I'm giving difference to everything else, right? Mm-hmm. I'm making difference everything. And that needs energy, 100%, right? And that's, again, answer to everybody say, like, okay, well, we're just saved. There is nothing else to do, right? But no, here it is. You know, put some effort, right? By nature, again, I'll say by nature again, as I did it in Lagos, I got in trouble. But by nature, we don't want to put any effort, right? We want to take it the easy way. But he's saying, no, there is, yes. Although he just said earlier that the divine power is giving you everything, but here he goes like, what? You have to do something. The same word actually used, St. Paul used it to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, do your best to present yourself to God. Do your best is the same word. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved. Paul talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15. Yes. Also in Hebrews, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Strive is be diligent. Put effort to enter the rest, you know, which is kind of a paradox. Like, okay, I'm going to the rest, but I have to work to go to the rest. Yes. Because then it is the race. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
One second.
Go ahead. Yes. Give difference. Just the meaning itself, the translation of the word itself, to give difference. Meaning by making effort, I make a difference, right? In everything, just in general, like just the word itself, right? When I'm diligent, right, in something, that means I'm putting the, as Brian said, there is energy. The energy has to change something, right? You know, if I come to the church and it's not clean, right? I have to put an effort, or somebody has to put an effort to do something. So then you are making difference, right? So there is an actual result out of that. It's just not just like what we look at it. It's just like a tiring, endless effort that I do and I'm not getting, there is no difference. There is nothing changing, right? But no, because then in the same verse, he says what? If you do those things, that you will never, or you will not fall. There is the difference here. And we'll talk about this. What's the meaning before? Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
Yep. So we're talking about spedouzo.
Yes.
That Greek word. And another definition for that is to make haste. Hasten, or to make haste.
Right. Yes. Which means hurry up, right? You know, put energy again, make haste, right? And that's why, again, the verse of Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore strive, let us make haste, let us put some energy to enter the trust so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The same way, by the way, the same verse. Lest, so that no one may fall. That's exactly what Peter is saying. So again, this is Hebrews 4:11. I'll read it one more time. Let us therefore strive, or be diligent, to enter the rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. He's talking about the disobedience of the people of Israel, as they didn't put effort at one point and stayed, and then, you know, older generation did not go into the rest. Therefore, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Now, the rest of the verse is also kind of confusing. Like, okay, well, we are called and we are elected, right? So why do you have to put any effort to confirm that? Isn't it confirmed already by the blood of Jesus? Isn't it confirmed already by the salvation? Isn't it confirmed already by the grace? What do you think? Yes, Dave.
But you want to be with him, only worthy enough to be with him. Have you heard that you are called and you say, yes, I'm called and I want to be with you. And then you in turn have to do the work that come as James said, and you have to act upon it and not just passively say, well, I'm baptized, things are good. There's an active aspect to it that is depends on action. And it's not just by mere fact that you are a Christian and you have been kind of in the church and even going through the motions. So to me, that sureness, confirmness is, are you living? Are you truly living in a manner with him in that nature? And such that it's a, because it's are you worthy? Are you worthy as one, like the 10 virgins? And you have the 5 of the oil and 5 that don't. The 5 are prepared.
Good right? point.
They've gone through the effort.
Good
the
point.
Five have not.
Because.
They want to be there with
the, yes. Good point. Because when you say, are you worthy? That means, are you really, you know, it's not worthy by the meaning of that you are now entitled. Now you made everything, then okay. Now, you know, it's not by that. But worthy meaning, and are you, even when we say in Philippians that it's God who is willing in you, right? Wills and works, right? In you. So, but still, I have to be part of that, right?
The other one, too, you say, well, you have to call your name.
We did everything.
I don't know you.
I don't know you. Yes. 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 You know, good point you brought up the parable of the virgins, of the 10 virgins, because, you know, when we were discussing, when we were studying Matthew, I think we made it more clear. We realized actually that the lamp that they have is not just a lamp, right, with our understanding, but it's basically actually a stick that has a rug or a rag on top of it, and that rag is immersed in oil. Right. And then that's how it's lit. And then they need to be watchful because every maybe 10, 15 minutes or so, they have to unwrap that rag from the stick and clean it or throw it and bring another fresh one, dip it in the oil and light it. Right. So there's an effort here. Right. The oil is what makes it lit. Right. What brings the light. But if I'm not watching that rag, it's going to burn. It's going to be no good. It's going to go off. Right. So just understanding even that particular parable from the actual, you know, meaning of it, culture is very, very helpful. Again, it's not just, we always think, you know, we see the pictures and stuff, you know, some ladies standing and holding the lamp, and it's not a lamp and fire, no. It's a stick that has that rag, you know, wrapped on top of it, and that rag is immersed in oil. So my job is to make sure to keep an eye on that and keep it immersed in the oil. Right?
One other step from that is they're actually performing a service too. They're guiding the groom to the bride to be, the bride to see. They're taking him through darkness with the portrait as a service. I mean, as a way to shine.
As a way to shine. There's a purpose for that. Definitely. Definitely. They're not just celebrating, but there is an actual purpose of that. There's an actual service for that. Definitely. Definitely. You know, one of the things, one of the quotes from the father says, what are we supposed to do in order to avoid falling? The answer is clear from what is written above. So I'm just like, not just read the passage and you know, because it's right there. It says, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. But back again to the idea of the call and the election and the confirming that, the call and the election. Now here, Peter puts them all together. That means actually that the call, we are all called and we are all elected, right? Why? The Lord said that I came for the world, right? To give salvation and to give light for the world, for everybody. But again, the whether, I was just reading something, it says like we can, you know, argue about who's elected and who's called and who's not and who's not, but that's not the point. The point is, are we confirmed in that call and election or not? Again, it is for all of us. It is given for us. But you know, what again, back again to, I think Peter is the best example for that. Peter was called, Peter was elected, but at one point he was always almost what? Falling. He didn't confirm that. When the time came to show his faith, right? He wasn't confirmed, right? And that's why, again, in 1 Peter 5, as we said, he said that he will confirm you, will establish you, will perfect you, and will strengthen you. Well, we'll see again, you know, mind the analogy. But if you have a check that is in your hand, right, and that check is given to you and written for you, I still have to go and cash it. Still have to go to the bank. Still have to put the effort. I can't just sit on the couch and say, well, I have whatever amount of money and I still don't have food in front of me. It's not going to help me with anything, right? So, again, Peter is reminding them, remember this again, the purpose is he's reminding them because they were at one point thought that there is no second coming, there is no eternity, there is no kingdom, right? So he said, just don't, you know, live a lazy life and you've known everything, as he will talk about it, but and we are called, we are elected, and that's it. No, you have to actually be diligent with that, right? Do your best. As it says, do your best. How can I do this on a very practical level? I think, as we're saying, just watching what we do, right? Watching, you know, our relationship with each other. Be diligent in putting an effort to maybe, as we were talking a few weeks ago with the SALT seminar, be uncomfortable. That is being diligent, right? I don't like to practice. I don't like to exercise. I don't like to go to the gym. But you know what? I have to go to the gym. Why? Because I have to put the effort. If I really care about my fitness and my health and so, right? Put some effort, right? This is part of it also in a very practical way. That's why we fast. That's why the Orthodox Church has the fasting. Because it's not about the food. The food is not going to get me to heaven or get me to whatever. No, it's not the food. But I'm practicing the body, and the body will make me practice the mind, and the mind will make me practice the soul, the spirit. So I'm again, this is the being exercising, right? Asceticism, that's the word. Asceticism, it's Greek for exercise. For exercise, I exercise. Why? Because it makes more, again, as we always say, what you get free is very easy truth, right? What comes free goes free. Well, so we are saved, here we are, we can do anything. Well, be careful. Be careful. So that's why when we exercise those things, right? Again, it's not spirit, it's not personal righteousness, it's not self-righteousness, it's not just I'm gaining, I'm earning my own salvation. No, 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 no. We're not saying that. But we're saying that I need to protect, again, as we said it before, right? You have a very, very precious gift. I need to put an effort to protect it, to clean it, to make sure it's there. So what is it that we are doing or not doing to be diligent in that? Does it require us to be very watchful? Yes, 100%, right? One of the things, for example, is fighting the thoughts, right? If I'm not diligent in fighting the thoughts, I'll go all over the place. And we're all bombarded by tons of thoughts, right? Whether it's doubt, whether it's lust, whether it's hatred, whether it's just self-indulgence, whatever that is, right? Am I really watchful and diligent and putting effort to fight those thoughts or not? Or sometimes I just like them. I like to daydream, right? You know, getting away from all my troubles and from all the agony that's happening in the whole world. I'm just gonna live in my own world. Right? Be diligent, right? Diligent to love the other, right? Again, well, but so and so did that to me, but then I'll make sure to show them who I am, and I will make sure that they hear from me. And that's not being diligent. It's not being diligent. Being diligent is okay, like, does it really matter to me, right? What's more important? I'm just thinking about that today, you know, like somebody has an issue with somebody and then he can make sure to make the point and everything, and like at the end of the day, yes, we have to be wise about it, but we have to also balance, like, is this going to bring peace or not, right? Be diligent with all the things. Ask for more wisdom, how to deal with certain circumstances and certain encounters. Be diligent in applying all the rest of the big list, as I just read. Like, you want to make sure not to fall, just read above, right? Be diligent in loving, right? It's not an easy thing to think about, because again, putting an effort meaning that I will be uncomfortable. But as we were talking before, Christianity is about what? Being uncomfortable. It's not about, you know, sitting and just kind of asking things to fall in my lap. It's okay, thank God. Therefore, brothers, be all more diligent to confirm your calling and election. There is a call, there is election. We're all called, we're all elected. But it is, again, my decision to confirm that or not. For if you practice these qualities, you'll never fall. You never fall means you never stumble. So what is fall here? Is fall being sinless? Fall meaning? Losing hope, right? Fall meaning again that I totally missed the target. Again, back to the definition of sin, amartia, missing the target. Fall meaning again I'm not paying attention. Just talking to somebody and fell and got bruised, you know, elbows and knees and everything. What happened? It was raining a couple of days ago, and she was running because she doesn't want to be late for work. And there you go. Stumble meaning to one of the meanings actually to make or to fall into misery, right? Like I don't do anything bad. Like, you know, maybe I'm not very diligent on what you're talking about, but still, I don't even have time. I hear this a lot. Like, Abuna, Father, I don't even have time to sin, to make anything wrong. You know, I wake up in the morning, go to work, come back home, eat, very tired. Do whatever, go to sleep, and so forth. I don't even have time to make any sin. What should I, you know, be careful about? Right? That's very, very deceiving mindset. What do you say for that? Again, as we said before, sin is not the action. Sin is the mind. Where is my mind throughout the whole day? Again, I always give that example. Here we are, we've been in the church for an hour. Me, myself. How often did I remember? How many times did I remember the name of Jesus as I was, other than the prayers, you know, as we're here? Just lifting my eyes and my mind for a fraction of a second. I said, Lord, help me. Lord, I love you. Lord, have mercy on me. That's what he said, right? Pray unceasing. Give me all your heart. Give me all your mind, right? Well, Abuna, don't make it so complicated and like, you know, we're here. Thank God we're here. No. This is how we become diligent. Right? Because if we do these things, we will not fall. Here, falling meaning, again, not going astray. Not deviating from the purpose. Right? Not, you know, doing things that is against what he wants me to be. And again, it's interesting that Peter himself is saying this, because Peter himself, you know, again, fell before and even fell after. We know that he had at one point big discussion, a big argument with Paul, right? And they thought, okay, you know, I can't come with you anymore. Don't come with me anymore. I don't want you. Whatever happened, right? So still, Peter himself made a mistake when he was kind of eating with the Jews in order for the Gentiles won't accuse him or eating with the Jews, not the Gentiles, so the Jews won't accuse him, right? Remember that story? So here he was, people pleaser, right? And it was after his restoration, after the Holy Spirit, after everything, but he still made a decision based on his own mindset. He wasn't diligent. I just want to make sure that, you know, I won't get in trouble. So, you know, I'll stay away from them. And
he may have been trying to, yeah,
But that was not the context at that time. That's why Paul gave it to him. Right? Like, no, you are a hypocrite. Paul gave him this. Right? Now, Paul himself at one point, you know, did this and did that. But for the reason for, because he wanted to actually, when he took Timothy and circumcised him, right? No, he's not doing this to please the people. He's doing this because Timothy will be, you know, big part of the mission. And he wanted to make sure that they accept him. Right? So it wasn't for any personal, you know, gain or personal acceptance or anything like that. Okay? So again, without getting into the details of this, I think the idea here again is, you know, our understanding of what does the fall mean, right? Because when we fall, again, you know, back again to Micah 7, right? Do not rejoice over me, my enemy, because when I fall, I will come back again, right? So when Peter here is saying, if you do those things, you'll never fall, that doesn't mean that you'll never sin. But you never stumble to the point that you don't know how to come back again, right? Why? Because this is the foundation. This is the foundation, right? You have the call, you have the election, you are confirming it by being diligent and you know, hasting and putting energy and putting effort. And then this will actually, again, if that's why, again, the Lord himself said the only sin that is not for, that forgivable is what? Bless me against the Holy Spirit. Meaning what? Meaning I'm not being diligent. I don't listen to the Holy Spirit that tells me, don't do this and do this, right? Refusing the work of the Spirit in me, right? Which means, again, not wanting to repent. The Holy Spirit is always calling for us to be what? To be holy. So when I blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, meaning I'm what? I'm telling the Holy Spirit, stay away from me, right? I know what I'm doing. Don't keep convicting me. Don't keep telling me what to do. I know what I'm doing, right? And I am determined, and I'm diligent in being determined not to follow. Not to follow. That is when we really, you know, commit or miss the target, as it says, missing the target. Any questions or comments so far before we move on?
I think that's a good point about the, you know, talking about how Peter and Paul argued and, you know, then like, what was it that Timothy was left the group and then he came back. And so, I mean, we tend to think that, I tend to think that there were like one harmonious group all the time. And it wasn't necessarily that way, that they were passionate about this stuff. And that led to some disagreements and, you know, trying to hammer some things through.
Yes. And that's the beauty of this again, that you know, they are, you know, having their life and their routine and everything, but through that they are very, very, very tuning into the Holy Spirit, right? Still. And the Spirit will, they are giving the Spirit a chance to actually fix what they break, right? So yes, that thing happened, okay. Well, but then, you know, this thing will come back again. Right? Why? Because they were diligent. They were very diligent, right? As you were saying before, again, looking at the saints, for example, see that that's a good example, how diligent they were, right? They were diligent. Why? They understood and they knew exactly what does it mean, right? What is the call for that? So to kind of sum up what we've been talking about here, I cannot confirm my call and election unless I am diligent. Okay, well, somebody will say, the next question will say, like, okay, well, this is very, very tiring, right? You know, how can I continue to keep fighting? How can I continue to be diligent? It's very tiring. Well, let's go back again to a couple verses before and now bring that verse back again, that he, his divine power has given us everything to live and to be godliness. So yes, again, this is the beauty again. Yes, I am diligent, but it's not me still, right? I'm diligent and I'm calling and using what has given, what has been given to me, right? So again, you know, don't take this text out of the context also of saying, no, he, before that, he already said what? The divine power giving you everything pertains to life and godliness. But you still need to be awake, right? Again, and a soldier that's in a war and needs to be diligent. Okay, is he going to fight by himself? Here I am. Stay away from me. No, right? He is armed by all the mighty power of whatever, right? Exactly. That's exact example, right? A soldier by himself, by herself, is not able to fight. But the diligence will allow him to use what is given to him in order to fight. If that soldier is not diligent, no matter how many billion dollars are spent for the weapons, it's going to be what? Useless, right? Useless. If I cannot, if I'm sleeping, I can't use, I can't push a button even to send the missile or whatever. Somebody still has to do it, right? That is the diligence. All the power is from the weapon that was given. We are given those weapons. We are given all the power. We are given the divine power pertains to life and godliness, as we said it in verse 4 and 5 here. His divine power is granted to us, not only given, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and God. So when we say, be diligent, put an effort, don't take this away without that verse. Because again, I can see it, I hear it, and I've been there, we've all been there. It is very tiring to be diligent. It's very exhausting. And then again, we're not enjoying that relationship with the Lord. Because all I have to do is always be 100% 24/7 diligent. But if I do this on my own, definitely I'll fall. It's not like I will never fall. No, definitely I will fall. It's the exact opposite of the verse. So if I take this away from all the divine powers granted to me, no. But with the divine power, now I know. Then even if I fall, I know, right? As we, you know, just came to my mind now, we probably discussed this before, the story of Jacob and the Lord when he was wrestling, right? When he was wrestling. And then, you know, what did he tell him? I will not let you go unless you bless me, right? And here we understand that I'm not letting you. We studied this when we were studying Hosea, remember? Because Hosea puts it in a beautiful way, actually completes Genesis. Okay? We understand that, okay, I will not let you go because what? I am strong, I prevailed. But actually he was what? He's broken, right? So as Hosea is saying, he needed the Lord to lean on him in order to be able to walk, because he broke his hip. So he's coming, he's saying this out of weakness, not out of strength. You following? He was saying, I will not let you go because without you, I'm not able to come up, to get up. I will fall because you just broke my hip. And that's where we come from when we are struggling, right? When we are even, because being diligent, we are tired. But then we say, what? I will not let you go. You are the one. Your divine power will help me to get up again and to continue walk again. That's why I know I will never fall. Because you are, again, the Lord is my shepherd, right? I will never fall. This is the meaning of I never fall. It's not like I will never make a mistake. No. I will always have him. Not to lean on him, but I was always have him in me to bring me up one more time. And then he continues, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For so an entrance will be supplied to you. In Arabic, bisa'a dukhul. Meaning, not just an entrance, but an open, wide open door. Like, wait a minute, I thought you said that the way is narrow. And what else? The path is hard, right? Whatever, that is, you know, just. But now, where are we at with this here? Here Peter is saying, actually, the gate is what? Is wide open. So, what are you talking about? What do you think? Yes, Linda, go ahead. Yes. 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 It doesn't mean you keep, you don't keep going. And the door is open. Exactly. 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 Yes. Yes. Yes, the way is narrow, but the gate is actually wide open. Why wide open? Because of what? Because of his divine power, because of his mercy, because of his victory. Actually, to understand this more, I was looking into that. The word that is used here is the word the Greek used to phrase to describe the welcome given Olympic winners when they returned home. It's beautiful. So that abundance or that the entrance will be supplied, the entrance when people are coming back again as winners, and the door is wide open for them in order to what? To enter. Well, the path was very, very narrow. The way to get to that final line is very, very hard, right? They worked hard and they fought and they sweat and they did everything. But then when it's time to come, it's wide open. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Wide open. When it's wide open, if you read the script, the passage, the scripture again, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom. So here he's not talking about, you know, well, no, the door is open now. Here, just do whatever, you'll be okay. No. Talk about what? Entrance into the eternal kingdom, the everlasting kingdom. Actually, I was looking at it. Eternal is more precise than everlasting because it's beyond time. Everlasting, it will last forever, still kind of compared to time, but eternal, it's infinite. So yes, we are struggling. Yes, we are putting an effort. Yes, we are diligent. Yes, we are careful. But remember, he will provide that entrance, abundance, right? Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. Now, right away, it comes to my mind again, who is the gate? So we have to link things together, right? Right? And we know the story about what does it mean, the actual metaphor of like, I am the gate. I'm sure you probably heard it before. The gate for the sheep at that time wasn't an actual gate. It was what? An opening. And the shepherd will do what? Will lay on the ground across the opening. So any wolf will come, will has to actually step over him. So that's why he's saying, you know what? You are good. You're safe. Because I am the gate. No one will come unless through me. Right? It wasn't a gate like what we envision now. It's like a door open. No, there is no door. It was the Lord Himself, the shepherd himself is the gate. When you apply this to this, you see why the gate is wide. Right? Back again to, I'm not worthy because what I do, but because I am faithful in what I have. And He is the good shepherd, and he wants everybody to come into the same flock under one shepherd. So it can be kind of confusing a passage or verse. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance. In this way, which way? When you do your job, because we are elected, we are called, but you still have to be diligent, right? Be diligent how? In doing what's above, right? The faith, the virtues, the love, the brotherly love, all those things, right? Now you're putting, you know, you're showing that I am actually in, buying in with that whole thing. I am part of that, right? And then he said, okay, you know what? The door is wide open for you. The door is wide open for eternal kingdom, his eternal kingdom. Why? Because he is the one, he is the gate. And by doing all those things, I was just reading this actually, it's a very, very important point. By being careful to apply and to live and to practice all those virtues, for what reason? For myself? For the reason of the virtues? No, for what reason? To be presentable. Why? How can I be presentable? By becoming Christ-like. So don't forget this. It's not just I need to be, you know, to gain and to live and to practice all the virtues for the sake of the virtues itself. Because that's not the right reason. It will actually feed into more and more of what of self-righteousness. Now I am, you know what? I can love everybody. I have no problem. I never judge anybody. I'm very humble. Humbly proud, as I say. So be careful. It's not just going after the virtues so I can attain this. Yes, thank you. Beautiful, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yes. I don't think you guys can see it, but maybe I'll bring it here. That's it, right? That's it. That is the gate, right? That is the gate. The shepherd is across. That is the gate. The sheep. So that in that case, that is not a narrow gate at all. it can look narrow, but it's not narrow. Why is not narrow? Because who is there? The Lord Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the gate. Right? So remember again, we are given all the divine power, right? In order to live, we're granted to live and to be godly, right? Well, and then we're not only that, but we are partakers of His divine nature. Meaning what? Meaning we are holy, we are immortal, we are merciful, we are like Him, right? Because of all those things, starting with the faith, then it will start to build in, bring in more, to grow from inside, as we said. The faith will grow in virtues. The virtues will grow in knowledge. The knowledge will grow in long suffering, and so and so and so, the eight things, right? Okay, that's good. Now you need to be diligent in order to keep all those things. Again, how can I keep this? Remember, you were given the divine power to do that, right? If you do this, again, even if I fall, I know what's my standards, right? I know the math. So even if I fall, I come back again. That's why He said you will never fall. And if you do those things, then you have abundant entrance given to you, given to me in order to do what? To enter the eternal kingdom. It's like a roadmap, right? But then we can get lost with things here and there, but what if and what if not, and who said, and like, okay, let's focus, right? Let's focus. What is the purpose? The purpose is to have that eternal kingdom. And by the way, that eternal kingdom, if I'm not ready for it now, I'll never be ready for it, right? If I don't live it, if I don't have that, again, that's why the St. Paul talks several times about what? About the guarantee. The Holy Spirit, right? Arbon, we've talked about this before, right? The down payment, if I may say that. The guarantee of the relationship, the Holy Spirit that's in us, that continues to give us the fruit of the Spirit, right? That is the divine power. What else the divine power other than the Holy Spirit that's in us? What is the divine power other than His body and the blood that we partake from? That is the divine power. Become one with Him. Right? And that will start and will have that internal growth, as St. Paul says, to the fullness until we reach that image itself, His image, right? His icon. That's why here he goes about, okay, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. So there is no, again, here contradiction between, well, the Lord said that no, the door is the path is narrow, and then he is saying it's good. No, it is. Because it's all the grace that he's given us, right? Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. What is he telling them here now? He's still the words of the Lord in his ears. Go strengthen your brother, right? Still there. And he knew, as we read from the rest of the chapter, that he knew at this point whether the Lord appeared to him or he had a vision that he is going to take off this tent pretty soon. So now he's very, very, very diligent also. That's why he used the same word in 15. I will make every effort. I am very diligent that after my departure, he may be able at any time to recall these things. Right? So he's trying to say, like, I have to remind you, although you know it. So here again, this is the elegance of the etiquette of the dialogue, if we say. It's not saying like you're never gonna remember anything. No, it's like I know you remember, right? I know he's saying it in a very, very nice way, right? That you know them and established in them already, but you know what? I still need to remind you, right? And we still need to, yes, we know, yes, we know the scripture, yes, we know our faith, but we always still need to be reminded, right? Here, Peter is reminding them through a letter, right? The Lord reminds us in every different ways, right? Through a word, through a study, through a life event, through something good, through something bad, whatever. Just make sure to understand that it is for my, to steer up that. So don't take it as, well, I don't know why God is doing this to me. Well, I might need a reminder. So what he's saying here, that I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. What is that truth that they have? Go back to the first verse of the chapter. That he told them what? Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior. The same faith, remember? We talked about this. So the same faith that he told them in the beginning is what he's saying about, talking about it now, that you are established in the truth, right? The faith that was established, the faith that was given to you, even before writing the letter, right? Because they grew up in that faith and it was delivered to them. So now he's saying that you are established, but again, it doesn't hurt to remind you. Right? It doesn't hurt for God to every time, like, hey, wake up, remember. Whether it's at this or this or this, you know, he has his own ways to remind us. We just need to link things that are happening to us with that purpose. With that purpose. Why? Because we know he's a loving God. Why? Because he knows that he's opening an abundant door for us to enter into the kingdom, right? So keep this in mind as we move on with our journey, right? Because then things start to make sense, right? I probably forgot something, right? Or I needed that, it's like it was a wake-up call, right? So-and-so happened to me, and you know, thank God, because it's a wake-up call. I needed to hear that. I needed to remember this, right? So don't, it's very, very easy for all of us. I'm the first one to get very, very entangled and very distracted and very lost with things that are happening, right? Especially nowadays, especially with the news, especially with the war. Like, we don't know what's going to happen next. Is it going to be the whole area? Is it going to be the whole region? Is it going to be here? The US is going to be involved. Egypt is going to, we don't know, right? Really, we don't know. But we know one thing, that we are given all the divine power. And we know one thing, that he is asking us to be diligent and faithful in what we have, the moment. Living the moment again. Living the moment is very, very important. It's very, very orthodox and very, very Christian and very, very biblical. Live the moment now, today, here. The moment is now. What am I doing right now? What am I thinking right now? Right now, that group. Just get done. Want to go on and get ready for tomorrow? Or like, I'm here in his presence. Tomorrow when we come to the liturgy, I'm living the moment that I am in his presence. or I'm just here because it's a Sunday, and maybe I'll meet a couple of friends, and maybe we'll just do whatever and go on. It's the routine. I'll talk about routine again tomorrow. I'm giving you a preview also. I hope so. Yeah. It's a routine. But am I living the moment or not? What he's trying to tell them is live the moment. Live the moment. Why? Because this is what we have, right? When I remember something, I'm living the moment. I'm remembering it now, right? Like when I tell you remember, okay, remember means now, right? Otherwise you forget. So that remind me, right, is like now. I make a mental note, I need to talk to so-and-so after the study. So that's a reminder, right? It's now, and I have to apply it, right? Reminder is not in the past. And reminder is not for tomorrow. Reminder for now. Remember now. If I'm going out of the house and I need to remember, please make sure, bring in the things that I need to bring to church. Okay, that means now. That's not going to help me if I remember tomorrow. Well, maybe still, by his mercy, right? But to be efficient, to be active, no, I need to remember now. So when he said, therefore, I intend always to remind you. That's why always to remind you, right? Because what that becomes, right? Always to remind you. It's the present, the now. God is always reminding us. Yes, we know. Yes, we've heard. Yes, we've done everything, but we still need, and we have. This is how we know that we are really, you know, we're not, you know, getting into pride. Like, no, I always need that reminder. Like, no, God, I know. No, I need the reminder. Why? Out of, again, Peter, he is out of all his love and out of all his responsibility. And that's another thing, you know. I know we're out of time, but just another question to throw it in there. You know, as Peter was able to realize and recognize his responsibility to remind people, that's not only Peter. We're all responsible to remind ourselves and to remind whatever we are engaged in. Reminding my family, reminding my community, reminding my congregation, reminding my friends, reminding my neighbors, even by praying for them. Well, I don't talk to my neighbors. Like, we're very good at that. Like, okay, no, I don't talk to my neighbors. Just high and by, and just like, you know, I'm in my own and they're in my own. Well, maybe not comfortable to do that, but if there's an opportunity, why not? If not, at least the reminder that I need to pray for them. God open a door. God will, I don't know what's happening behind the door, right? All those closed doors and maybe whatever houses they are, every house has a story, right? Am I reminded to pray for them or not? That's not my job. No, it is our job. The Lord told Peter, strengthen your brother. And the Lord is telling each one of us the same thing. Strengthen your brothers and sisters. Strengthen them. How? By reminding them. I need to remind myself, remind my close, you know, circle that I'm living, reminding my people that God has given me every relationship that God has given me. It's for a reason, for a purpose. Not like, okay, what am I getting from that relationship? Like, no, that's very selfish, right? In marriage, that's what it is. We need to remind each other. We always say we complete each other. We don't compete with each other, right? Am I reminding my spouse? Is my spouse reminding me? Or when he or she does that, like, no, I know what I'm doing. Stay away from me. Don't preach me, right? Like, no. We should take it with all love and with all humility. Thank you for reminding me. You know, I get sometimes irritated, like, okay, Amir, tell me, you know, did you call so-and-so? Like, no, I know what I'm doing, don't. But like, no, thank you for reminding me, because yes, I, even on a very, you know, practical level, I can forget I was supposed to call Dave and I didn't call him, but she knew, for example, well, did you call, like, you know, I know what I'm doing. That's not a good answer. But again, that is the first thing that comes to mind. Right? No, we need to remind each other because we are responsible for each other. That's what it means when we have abundant entrance to the kingdom. Right? That is abundance entrance also meaning what it's wide enough to accept everybody. Right? We come again, as we said last time, as a bunch, not by my own, right? As one of the fathers said, he won't tell you, you know, why couldn't you make it? Like, why are you coming alone? You can't enter alone. You can't enter. That door is wide in order to get what? Each other. Yes. We'll stop at this point. Good reminder, right? Good reminder. I think it's right as long as I'm in this body to stir up you by way of reminder, right? That even though that you are established, but we still need to be reminded and we still need to remind each other. God bless. We'll continue next Saturday. I'm actually in Chicago for a conference. So there won't be a Bible study or a Vespers next Saturday. So forgive me for that, but I'll be there Friday evening and Saturday. Come back Saturday night. So there's no Bible study or Vespers next Saturday. But we'll continue the week after, God willing. Any final questions or thoughts?
I was just thinking about what you're saying about that we should go back to the now, you know, and we need to remember that to go back to now. And I thought that'd be a great t-shirt. Just says, remember now. Remember now.
Yes, we'll pass it to our marketing group.
Yeah. I'll split the profits with you on that.
Thank you, Brian. Remember the moment. Remember now. Yes. Okay, well, let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and that Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your love, your care. Ask you, Lord, to continue to bless us, continue to strengthen us, Lord, in order to be diligent. Order to live the moment, in order to remind ourselves and open our eyes and ears that accept every reminder you send to our path, Lord, in order to be ready, Lord, and to enjoy that abundantly open door for us, Lord, to enter into kingdom. Through your blood, through yourself, through your grace, Lord. Prayers of all your saints, praying, Lord, for the whole world, for the peace, for those who are struggling, for those under every kind of bondage, Lord, that you free everybody. Prayers of all your saints and Mary, Saint George, in your name, Lord Jesus, and say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May the love of God, the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, the King of the Holy Spirit, with you go in peace. Peace be with you all. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.